Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show, the all-new show on Islam and Muslims. And today we're going to be covering hadith. So this is a very good topic for those of you who have just entered Islam, or you're a Muslim and you're confused about hadith, you don't even know what the meaning of hadith is. So today we're going to be giving you the gist of it with a very special person, good friend of mine. I'm going to surprise you. We'll be right back on The Deen Show. I wanted to give him a surprise because we got Sheikh Muhammad Said Udley. How are you, sir?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Peace be unto you.
And to you, brother.
All right. So, for those of you, most of the people know who you are already.
Alhamdulillah.
But let's just refresh them with you telling us a little bit. Introduce yourself for the audience probably who don't possibly know who you are.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. My name is Muhammad Said Adli. If it's too long for you, you can say MSA. This is the shortcut. I'm the director of the Islamic Center in Columbia, South Carolina. Alhamdulillah, I've been the Islamic work for the last 33 years, since 1975. Some of you, they know me personal. Some of you met me through the internet. Some of you have my CDs or DVDs or my books. You never know what you're going to have next time. Is this enough for you this time?
Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about today hadith. We want to know, let's just start off with the meaning of hadith. What do we mean when we say hadith?
Hadith. Hadith is something which is statement, saying, speech. Those can be hadith. The hadith is the opposite of something which is old, something new. You can say this also hadith. This linguistic talking. But if we're talking about a religious meaning, we're talking about the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We call it hadith.
Now the hadith, because we as ones who submit our will to the will of the Creator alone and no one else, right? Muslim, this is, I'm giving a definition for those of our viewers who just possibly might be joining us for the first time. As Muslims, we go by the verbatim word of God, which is the Quran, and we say the hadith. Mm-hmm. So what do we mean when we say and the hadith?
The hadith is the statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Who was?
The messenger of Almighty Allah and the last of all the prophets and the messengers of Allah. Muhammad, son of Abdullah, who born in Mecca.
Gotcha. Okay. So when we say that we go by the hadith, these hadith that we have, how do we distinguish the hadith that we have if they're authentic? How do we know that we know the Quran is the verbatim word of God? But how do we know that the hadith we have are authentic? How do they come to being as we have them today?
Okay. First of all, that you have to understand like a train track. We'll try to make things simple, for especially for new Muslims to understand what it is. The train have two tracks to go on them, all right?
Gotcha.
We as Muslims, we are being guided, or the guidance that's been given to us, it's been given to us in two forms. One which you call the Quran, which is the words of Almighty God, and one is the hadith, which is the statement or the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Both of them complement one another, complete one another, explain one another. The difference between Quran, which is the words of Almighty Allah, and the words of the hadith, which is the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran is mu'jiz, is a miracle by itself. In the way how been compiled, the way how been brought together, everything. The hadith is a normal words of a human being, but still inspired by Almighty Allah. But the statement itself is not the statement of Allah. It's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the words of a human being. So when you challenge somebody, you challenge him with the Quran as a miracle in the words, the grammatical way, the grammar, the spelling, the beauty, all these things. As for the hadith, you do not challenge somebody to say, make hadith like this. It's a word of a human being. So the meaning of the hadith, the general meaning of the hadith is from Almighty Allah. But the words is the words of a human being, which is the Prophet of Allah. So, although the words of the Prophet ﷺ, but he didn't make it up. He's giving the followers what Allah wants them to do, giving them instruction, but in his own words. The Quran is the words, and the meaning is from Allah. The hadith is the meaning from Allah, the words from the Prophet
ﷺ. Tell us, Shaykh, how do we know that when we have a hadith, mm-hmm. that the Prophet, peace be upon him, actually said that? Okay. How is that checked?
How is this checked? This is not something simple as you may think that we're sitting here. There is some people who specialize in this. Not me, not you. Same thing that you find a ring shining. So right away, maybe you think it's gold. But if you take it to the gold shop, he's not going to even give you $5 for it. So it's not everything shining is gold. So the same thing is not any statement, any words put together. I can tell you this is hadith. So there is scholars who are specialized in this field to tell you if this is hadith, is authentic or not what, or not what. There is rules and regulations and study. Same thing like a person, you understand, that became a general doctor. And you have a doctor specialized only in heart, okay, or in the brain or eyes. So you have some people who specialize in study of the knowledge of hadith. Does contradict the Quran, as example? Does conflict with any of the teaching of Islam?
All these people, their credibility and their life and all these things, and then from there, the hadith would be accepted?
And be accepted. Otherwise, if there is any defect in one of the narrator, or there is a defect in the statement of itself, which you consider the hadith, so this would disqualify this hadith to be authentic, to be utilized.
So can it be?
I want to give you example, as yes. example. There is a story been narrated about Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah send mercy in his soul, that, and those scholars, they used to travel from country to country, only he used to travel for a whole month to see the other narrator. And when he reached him, he said, did you hear from so-and-so a statement of the Prophet such and such and such to verify? So anyway, Imam al-Bukhari, he traveled for a month or two to meet one of the narrators of the hadith. So when he reached to the other country, he sees this man holding a bucket, okay, and they try to tempt the horse, okay, to come, to act as if he have food for the horse. When the horse came, the guy throws the bucket away and hold the horse and get in his back.
So he kind of tricked the horse.
Exactly. So Imam al-Bukhari turned away after all this long journey. I say, I could not trust a person who lied to his animal. If this person did such act like this, that means he's not reliable. He deceived the horse. I could not. So he even turned away. He did not even go to ask him about the hadith. They used to study the history of the people. As example, there is something can scratch his reputation as a reliable person. As example, if he shave his beard, if he walk in the street with no coffee, if he eat standing up. Small violations in Islam, like to me and to you today, is not a big deal. So what this means that somebody standing up and eating is only makruh, as example. But to them, it was a big deal. So they study these people one by one, and they try to see their behavior and their discipline. Not only how much he can memorize, how much he can remember, they check them from A to Z to accept this person. And they go for the second one, the third one, until they reach to the Sahaba.
So we really need to be asking ourselves, would we be qualified to have a hadith be accepted from us? Probably not. Not at all.
Oh, no.
So these were men that
We'd be happy if they said Salaamu Alaikum to us.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on the Dean Show.
مثل العالم ظهره هيك شو بيقولوا عليك الناس
لك وجهك شو بعمل
وعيونك عيونك منفخه كانك واعيه من النوم لا 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 لازم تحطي على القليل شويه ميك اب شوي بس ما حدا حيلاحظ شو انت رايحه على عزاء شو هالعبايه هاي شو في شكلك فيها مثل الكيس بدك أصحابك يتمسخروا عليك؟ شو بدك إياهم يقولوا عنك؟ ما لقيت تلبس غير عباية الماما؟ لازم الاقي لك عباية يكون تلبقلك بعدين مين قالك إنه الحجاب لازم يغطي كل شعرك؟ لا هالحياة شوي شباب ما رح يكلوكي شفتي؟ هلأ صرت يكونوا مثل القمر حجابك مثل ما هو
يلا يلا انا نازله
قال حجاب قال
وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من ابصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن الا ما ظهر منها
Welcome back to the Dean Show. We're with Sheikh Muhammad Udley. We're talking about hadith. We want to know what the hadith are and just giving you a gist about them. Tell us, for the layman like myself and other people.
Or myself.
So for the layman, how do we, because we're not Buhari, we're not Muslim, these people that collected the hadith, how do we know now what's authentic, what's not? How do we know with, you know, sometimes for the layman it can get a little confusing. What do you recommend?
In actuality, the higher standard of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, these two books consider the best books and the most authentic books that accepted by the whole Ummah, the entire Muslims everywhere, after the book of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a regular person like myself and yourself, we could not take a book and say, this hadith authentic, this hadith is weak. So to be safe, stick to Bukhari and Muslim until you can find one of the great scholars who is qualified to tell you if this book or this hadith in Tirmidhi is authentic or not authentic. This hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik, is it authentic or not? But for me to open any one of these books, I may have authentic hadith or weak hadith. So we have two books which in them, I can say almost about 80% of Islam, if it's not more. If you hold these two books and take all the hadith that is there, you be like I don't want to use the word, like a saint. You became a so righteous person. Because which one of us understands that capable or able to practice nowadays 80% of his deen? So let's be in the safe side and practice 80% of our deen with something good and solid, reliable, than having 90% or 100% and most of it doesn't hold any water. So stick to Bukhari and Muslim for the time being, unless you have a person who specializes in this field or that he read the books of the scholars like Sheikh al-Imam al-Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, and he will tell you, Sheikh al-Albani said, this hadith is authentic, this hadith is weak, like this.
Now, it makes total sense, if you look at it, is it correct to say that every messenger of Almighty God, Allah, came with hadith? He was given the revelation. For instance, Moses was given the Torah, Jesus, peace be upon him, was given the Injil, and their words were hadith. And then, is that how...
I don't really want to make a statement like this, because Allah says in Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't talk about things which have no knowledge. It maybe doesn't come to my mind now to answer a question like this, but I don't want to say that every prophet have this, because there is a big possibility that prophet relate to his community what Allah Almighty said. But the Prophet ﷺ had told us, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْكِتَابِ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَ. Indeed, I've been given the book and a similar book with it. About the other prophets, I don't know.
What I mean is that you have the revelation, then you have the representative that came with this.
This is true, but let me give to the viewer a simple example to understand what is hadith.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays you have the Constitution of the United States as example,
yeah,
or the bylaws, whatever. This is the law, but there is other books comes to break down this. And this is the reason when you go, you find the lawyers, they have all these books in their shelves, which is like memorandum or addition or some kind of to break down the Constitution to more categories and subtitles.
Yes.
So this exactly what is the hadith is doing, you see? So the hadith is to explain the Quran more and give more details. So you have two books and you have to go by both of them. You could not go by the Quran by itself. But did every prophet have the Torah, the Torah, and also his statement beside it? Did Jesus have the Injil as example and his prophet saying? I could not make a statement like this for the time being, at least. I have to think about it more or check it more.
Gotcha. What about for someone who says, you know what, the Quran's enough for me, I'm just going to go by the Quran, I don't need the Hadith. How do you respond to this?
First of all, you understand, we answer them by the Quran itself. If you really want to go by the Quran say, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and obey the Prophet. So how are you going to obey the Prophet? The Quran is commanding you to obey the Prophet. So where is the order of the Prophet? Because when you say obey Allah, that means you are not going to sit and listen. Yeah, Allah, what you saying? Obey Allah, obey the book of Allah, and obey the Prophet of Allah. So where is the Prophet of Allah now? So how are you going to apply this verse? This is one thing. Give you another example. The Quran say, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Establish the prayer and give the zakah. But how many prayers? And when we're supposed to make the prayer, and how to do the prayer. There is no details in the Quran. There is no single verse in the whole Quran to tell you that the prayer are five. So how are you going to make the salah? So you have here command, direct command from Allah to establish the prayer. How are you going to establish the prayer? How are you going to do it? Okay. How do you know you understand that the ruku' comes before the sujood? Bound come before prostration. So there is no way a Muslim can live by the Quran or even understand the Quran in the absence of the hadith. No way.
So can a person, well, that basically answered my next question. My next question was going to be, can a person just go by the Quran?
It's no way. It's no way that you can live only by the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, there is many verses in the Quran talks about the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet of Allah gives you, that take. And whatever he forbids you from it, stay away. So there is other things different from what's in the Quran been forbidden by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, we can eat dogs, okay? But we could not eat any wild animals which has fang,
yes,
you know, this big tooth,
fangs, yeah,
yeah, because it came in the hadith. Allah forbid in the Quran any dead thing to be eaten, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with the exception of the fish, all right. So, there is many things and say, وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. Is not befitting to any believers, male or female, when Allah or His Messenger decide a matter that they have the choice. So there is a saying of Allah and there is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had indicated, prophesied that it will come time that some people would say, Quran is enough for us. And he said, indeed, what Allah forbid is equal to what the Prophet forbid. And what the Prophet make halal, lawful, is equal to what Allah make it lawful and halal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already had prophesied, it will be some people who act in this kind of manner. But there's no way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. All my nation will enter heaven or paradise, جنة. With exception, those who refuse. The companion said, O Prophet of Allah, how a person will refuse to enter جنة? Say, whosoever obeys me, he will enter جنة. Whosoever disobey me, that means he's refusing to enter Jannah. So this is a big deviation for somebody to think that he can go only by the Quran. And like I said, ask somebody who say, I can only go by the Quran. Did Allah command you to pray? He will say yes. Ask him, show me one single verse in the whole Quran tells you how many salah you're supposed to pray every day. They have no answer. Somebody maybe tell you 3. Somebody tell you 2. Somebody tells you as much as they want. You see the confusion?
A lot of confusion. So yep. We cannot separate. It's clear that you have the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and you have the hadith. You cannot separate the two at all.
You could not.
And this is actually a mercy from the Creator that you have His representative showing us how to implement this Quran.
Yes, exactly. And we should be grateful and we should follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I said, you as a Muslim, like a train, you got these 2 tracks. You have to go on them. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen.
Well, thank you again for being with us and helping
it's
us.
It's my pleasure always.
Thank you. Jazakallah khairan.
Alhamdulillah.
And I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you guys got to benefit. And we'll see you again, inshallah, God willing, on another episode of The Dean Show. Until then, you can visit us on thedeanshow.com. That's thedeenshow.com. Until next time, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.